on the Vermont Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the Catamount Insider, brought to you by Milton Cat. Get equipped, get to work now. From the Handy Toyota broadcast booth, here's Michael Lear.
Welcome to a very special edition of Catamount Insider. It is our 2019 final show, a little recap of the year and a look ahead into what's going on. And I feel like it's kind of hard for me to do this myself, so I went to the all-seeing eye and athletic director Jeff Shulman here to join us. So thanks for doing this again.
Thanks for having me, Michael. You've been doing a great job with the podcast. I think I've listened to every edition so far, and it's great to hear our coaches and other staff from the department getting some exposure through this. So great job.
It's been fun to get to know way more people. Yeah. I feel like I walked down the hall and now I've
been learning some things about some of our coaches and staff by listening to the
So what are the holidays like for you guys right now within the athletic department?
It's a nice time of year for us, and obviously we're still really busy with games going on, and there's a little bit of a break for exams that just concluded, and we let our student athletes obviously focus on their academics during that period of time, but we're ramping right back up after exams. But there's some fun things that we do as a department. This is the fourth year in a row that we've had a day of service followed by a little holiday gathering. And so this year, our coaches and staff got in groups and went out to a variety of nonprofits in the community. And we really had a fun day. You know, there's folks that don't interact with each other on a regular basis who got to go out in the community. And, you know, we were packaging diapers up with the Junior League. We were at the Boys and Girls Club and King Street and the Chittenden Food Shelf, and several others, and it's just, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to be able to give back to a community that's so incredibly supportive of our program and of our student athletes and coaches and staff. So that was a real highlight for me.
So I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it to tee you up anyways. Whose idea was that, and how did it come to be 4 years ago? Oh,
thank you. You're helping me out back at home, but my wife Deb Lichtenfeld. This was her idea. You know, we've had holiday gatherings in the department for many years, which are very social and a lot of fun. But it was her idea to couple it with a day of service, and it's been a big success and really popular with our coaches and staff. And so I certainly owe a debt of gratitude to my wife for this idea, and of course so many other things.
So it's been a long 360 days now. If this comes out right around Christmas next week, but the last year has been really awesome, I think, for me to be a part of UVM Athletics, because I learned my first few things about UVM Athletics, really, besides seeing games and moments here and there. I think it would take us about 2 hours to at least break down a third of the memories and moments from the year. But I think there's a couple that we can point to, and I wanted to ask you about. The first one that I think of was going out to the ski championships and being a part of that week and getting to see everything. What was hosting such a big event like that like, and especially a big event for skiing, which not a lot of schools across the country get to do?
Yeah, that was a really special event for us also. I'm glad you got to get out there. It's, you know, skiing's a really unique intercollegiate sport within the NCAA, and for a couple reasons. One is that it's men and women competing together, not against each other, but the team score is a combination of your men's and women's scores and Nordic and Alpine. It's different in that way. It's also different that the regular season circuit, the Eastern Intercollegiate Ski Association, has several carnivals, and we host one of those every year. But the same groups, the group of schools from the East competes every weekend together, which is really unique for a college sport. And so it's great that every, you know, 3 or 4 years we get to host the national championship and bring not only the Eastern schools but the Western schools to this area, which is, you know, such a strong ski tradition and history, not only our program, but obviously the state of Vermont. So it was really special. And, you know, we had four beautiful days up at Stowe and the Mount Mansfield ski resort, Stowe Mountain for the Alpine events and Trapp Family Lodge for the Nordic events. And both those venues just do a fantastic job and really make it easy on us. Now, having said that, our staff puts a lot of work into it as well. And particularly Ed Hockenberry, who's one of our associate athletic directors, and Chris DeBello, who's the administrative supervisor of the ski program. And I could go on and on with our whole department, but all the folks that, that helped put the event on. But it's a really, it's a fun thing for us to do, to be on a national stage like that. And, you know, we were fortunate that our team had a great outing as well. We finished second in the country, and Laurent Saint-Germain was a double national champion in both slalom and giant slalom. Our Nordic teams did really well, and so it was a special weekend. As I said, the weather cooperated. You know, you just never quite know in Vermont, yeah. But we had four spectacular days, so it was great.
So not what seemed like not too long after that, UVM men's basketball was on pretty much the most national stage you can find as far as television ratings and everything like that. And how cool was it to have that be in Hartford and have not only fans and family members of student athletes and everything, but a lot of your athletic department and your staff get to go down there and check it out?
Yeah, we were fortunate in that regard. I have a little bit of a superstition in that I won't look at the sites for the first and second round of the basketball tournament.
So do you not know where this? Do you not know where this year's are? I won't break it if you don't know.
It's more of a little joke that I have with my kids because they like to look at it very quickly. And it was great to be so close to home and have so many Vermont fans be able to see us play. And you know, we had a reception beforehand at the Yard Goats, the minor league baseball park right near the Excel Center where the tournament games were being played. And I think we had 1,000, you know, UVM alums. This was a Thursday afternoon,
yep,
the middle of the work week. But it just a ton of Catamount folks down there, and it was a great event. And you know, obviously incredibly proud of our team and what we've been able to accomplish, not just last year, but over a long period of time. And to, you know, it's one thing to have a great year. It's another thing to really be able to sustain that success and do it with such quality people. And that's what our men's basketball program has really set the bar for the rest of our department in a lot of ways. And, you know, team's off to another good start this year, but it's tough in a one bid league, and that's maybe the reason for my superstition is that you know, it's difficult, and you know, really it comes down to three games in March and being able to win all of those to advance to the tournament. But Hartford was really special last year, and we're excited for this season as well.
So the start of 2019 and end of last year's school year, I think there were a lot of moments throughout that spring and winter season. What stood out to you as far as maybe some things closer to campus or things that didn't necessarily end up on CBS on a random night?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I have to be careful that I don't leave anybody out. You know, there's a lot of moments that that just aren't quite as visible as an NCAA America East champion or NCAA appearance in an America East championship for men's basketball or even the ski event. But you know, last year was a really solid year for our department. Our men's lacrosse team got to the championship of America East. We had some incredible individual performances and team performances in our cross country and track and field programs. Lauren Trumbull stands out for me. She was selected as the most outstanding athlete at the America East Indoor Championship this past year. Our swimming and diving programs had another good year, finished in third place in America East. You know, our men's soccer team had a strong season, and this past fall tied for the America East regular season championship. So there's a lot of activity, obviously, in our department. And again, when I start reeling through the names and teams, I always worry about leaving anybody out. But I'm really proud of the season that we had. And you know, our student athletes continue to do exceptionally well in the classroom with grade point averages. You know, I think last year our collective department GPA was close to a 3.3. Our graduation rates are among the best in college athletics. So, you know, I'm certainly proud of our program, and I hope that the broader campus community and the entire state of Vermont are proud as well.
In this next segment, we'll talk about the facility project and a few more athletic director-esque things. But before we get to that, when in, let's say, 10, 20 years, when people look back at 2019 for UVM athletics, for student athletes and what they did both inside and outside of their sports, what do you want people to remember about 2019 for student athletes here at UVM?
Well, it's, you know, that's an interesting question. It's a little hard to project out that far, but you know, one of the things that I think about quite a bit is that, you know, while it's easy to get caught up in wins and losses and competitive results, it's really, you know, the enterprise that we're in is education. And, you know, we're providing 400 plus student athletes a year, a really unique opportunity to challenge themselves as athletes and as students and as people in a really, you know, a difficult environment. It's not easy to be a Division I student athlete these days and balance everything. And so I really believe in what we're doing, and I believe that we're helping young people to grow and to develop in ways that are going to benefit them throughout their lives. You know, and I go around and I talk to alumni all the time, and some are doctors and some are lawyers and some are involved in education or nonprofits. And it's really rare that a week goes by where one of them doesn't say to me, you know, the lessons that I learned through my participation as a varsity athlete at UVM have helped me so much in whatever it is, whatever field it is that they've gone into. And that's the thing that really inspires me, and I think inspires our coaches and staff the most, is just that, you know, it's you know, obviously we're all competitive people and we want to win, and that's important. But ultimately, we're about helping young people grow and develop into productive citizens.
So in 10 years, we'll just see who's the lawyer, the doctor running the nonprofit, and then we'll break it down.
I'm sure we'll be inducting some of these athletes in our Hall of Fame as well. And you know, again, it's, you know, part of what makes intercollegiate athletics so special is that competitive part of it and the emotion that comes with it all. And so, you know, I don't want to minimize that for a minute. You know, our coaches hear me say all the time that winning matters here, you know, but it matters that if we're winning and doing things the right way with integrity and in a way that, you know, that always emphasizes academics and the health and the well-being of our student athletes and their development as people.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with Jeff Shulman in just a bit. It's Catamount Insider from Learfield, IMG College. Back here on Catamount Insider with Director of Athletics at UVM, Jeff Shulman. Remember that Catamount Insider is presented by Milton Cat. Get equipped and get to work, located on Cat Lane in Richmond. So I'm excited for this segment because I'm going to learn a lot, I think, in this segment about how college athletics work and how your role and all these other different pieces change college athletics on a daily basis. I think that one thing we were talking about that has become a big issue, and it's on ESPN and it's on the news and everyone's talking about it, is this development of, can student athletes profit off their name, image, and likeness? And some people like to talk about it, some people don't, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts and your role in this conversation or change in college athletics.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting issue, and it's certainly something that I pay close attention to. You know, one of the realities of college athletics is that even within Division I, you're dealing with 350 some odd schools, and so, you know, the issues that they may be dealing with at Michigan or USC or North Carolina are not always fully aligned with what we're dealing with on a regular basis. And a lot of what you know, what people hear about and read about in the national press around college athletics, they're related to two sports, one that we don't play, football, and one that we play at a mid-major level, but not with the level of resources or financial implications as some other programs. And so and that's the case with this issue around image and likeness that's getting so much attention right now. But we certainly pay close attention because there's a trickle-down effect on a lot of the issues that the larger programs, or what they call the Power Five or the Autonomy Five, that's referring to the five largest conferences in Division One that are all football-playing conferences. The issues that they deal with, while different, oftentimes do have this sort of trickle-down effect to us. And I think, you know, there's some interesting consensus developing among athletic directors and presidents and others that are involved in the administration of college athletics around this issue. And I think that most of us recognize that the NCAA rules really do need to evolve and ensure that student athletes aren't treated differently than the general student body in terms of their opportunities to benefit off of their name, image, and likeness. For example, if there's a student athlete who creates becomes a YouTube personality or some sort of social media influencer, I think most of us recognize that it's reasonable that they should be able to financially benefit from that. They're not currently in under current NCAA rules. Things like being able to run a camp, maybe going home and running a summer camp with skill development in their sport, that can be challenging now with current NCAA rules. So, I think there is a consensus around the need for NCAA rules to evolve. The question is, how do they evolve and how far does this go? You know, is it a total free market where schools are bidding on players for their services? I think that's beyond the comfort level, certainly that of my comfort level. And I think most of my colleagues around the country, so it really will be interesting. I think, that all of us want to continue to see a level of differentiation between college sports and professional sports. What does that mean in the end? That's what we're trying to work through right now. And, this idea of amateurism is subjective in and of itself. Yeah. And there's lots of different ways to define that. So I try not to use that word, just because I think it's loaded. But it's going to be an interesting year. And, the NCAA, which is really just the schools getting together and deciding how we want to govern ourselves. We're being pushed by politicians, and the state of California has already implemented a law that is going to challenge the NCAA's rules, or has challenged the NCAA rules. The NCAA has a working group that's focused on this. The Congress now has a working group that's focused on this. And so it will be an interesting year in college athletics for sure.
So how does communication work between, let's say, your athletic department, but any athletic department, and the NCAA, which is this big thing that I don't even think a lot of people understand how it all runs itself in a way?
Yeah. So when I first got into college athletics, it used to be one school, one vote. So if there was 350 schools in Division I and there was a piece of legislation or a rule change that was being proposed in Division I, each school would vote and the majority would win. We've shifted that a little bit over the years to more of a representative form of governance. And part of that is that the larger conferences actually have greater representation, and that's just a reality of how the finances are handled, or the financial realities of college athletics. There's schools with budgets in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and that's obviously far from where we are. So we have representation through America East. So there's a representative from America East on the governing boards of college athletics, the council, and the president's commission. And they're able to vote on behalf of our conference. There's greater representation from some of the larger conferences, so they have more say over certain rules. The Autonomy 5 group, which is again the five biggest conferences, that's the Big Ten, the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the SEC. They actually have the ability. Notre Dame's actually part of that as well, although they're independent.
Just mixed in somewhere.
Yeah. They have the ability to actually pass rules that only apply to them.
Okay.
So that's sort of a unique aspect of Division I. And then the rest of Division I actually has the ability to either opt in or out of those rules, which is sort of an interesting twist to the rulemaking. Certain rules obviously can't be different across Division I, like the sport rules, for example. They don't play by
foul shots. Foul
right,
shot.
Exactly. But when it comes to certain rules over, just trying to think of a good example, maybe how insurance, what type of insurance student athletes are you're obligated to give student athletes, and beyond eligibility, a rule like that may be different within Division I. So it's and you know, again, so we're represented nationally through America East. And I think all the athletic directors in our league and are paying close attention to national issues. I know I certainly do. And it's, I always enjoy having conversations with our student athletes about these issues as well, just because, you know, it's stuff that obviously impacts on them on a daily basis. And it's interesting to get their perspective.
So a lot of people, I'm sure, feel that sometimes a conference, whether it's America East or Hockey East, is just who you play, but it's obviously way more than that. It's not just, okay, well, we're in the America East, so we play Binghamton and Hartford, and here's our list. It means more than that as far as a communication standpoint and a connection to the NCAA as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's so our we're represented on a national level through our conference, and then we make we select individuals to represent the conference on the different committees and boards. So yeah, it's and that's just the way the NCAA is governed right now, is that there's a lot of emphasis put on your all sport conference. And that's the other interesting distinction, is that America East is our all sport conference, which are multi-sport conference. All sport would be a little bit of a misnomer, because of course we have Hockey East for hockey and EISA for skiing, but we're meeting as athletic directors and administrators with our colleagues in America East on a pretty regular basis, and that's how we're staying on top of national issues.
So since you've been a part of UVM Athletics for so long, how have you seen that structure change within the conferences, and especially in the last couple of years, or even going forward?
Yeah. You know, the NCAA is constantly evolving. And again, it's important to emphasize, and I said it earlier before, that I think sometimes people have this perception of the NCAA as being like a, you know, some entity in and of itself, you know, deciding on how to run college athletics. NCAA really is just, representing the will of the membership. The NCAA office staff itself is really just implementing the rules that the membership have voted on. So college athletics has really evolved over time. You know, I first arrived at UVM in 1985 as a first year student on campus here, and played on the hockey team. I tried out for the baseball team when I was a student at UVM, which I didn't. I was cut from the baseball team.
I was cut from the high school baseball team, if that means anything.
All right, we've got that in common. You know, I reflect back a lot on my experience as a student athlete and just think about how things have changed. One of the ways it's changed is just how difficult it is to be a multi-sport student athlete. I mean, the thought that I could even think about being a hockey player and baseball player at UVM, you know, obviously we don't have baseball anymore, but you know, it's almost impossible to think that a student athlete could play more than one sport, with the exception of cross country, indoor and outdoor track that so many of our student athletes do. So, you know, the amount of time and that our student athletes are putting into their teams and their sports is significantly different than when I was a student athlete, although we try to be really conscious of that and make sure that they still have the ability to excel academically and also just to live a normal life of a college student to the extent possible. That's changed a lot. You know, the specialization of our recruits has changed a lot. There's very few even high school students that are really playing serious athletics in different sports. The amount of attention that we pay to student athlete health and well-being is something that's really evolved in a very positive way. And, you know, certainly their physical health and the number of certified athletic trainers that we have, our attention to mental health. And as you know, we have two full-time people in our department that are just doing sports psychology and counseling.
On the podcast last week, Ari Shapiro-Miller.
Oh, I haven't heard that one.
Well, so it's airing. Okay. It's this week, last week, depending on what you. I interviewed him yesterday. Okay.
Awesome. I'm sure he was great.
Yeah.
The emphasis on strength and conditioning and athletic performance and nutrition, all of that has really evolved over time, and I think in a really positive way that we're, you know, our student athletes are being really well cared for, and yet there's still at its core, I think the sort of the soul of UVM athletics is still a pretty wholesome place where you know, where we're competitive and we work hard to win and excel on the fields of play and all the other venues that we participate. But always, you know, layered on top of that is just this emphasis on academics and graduation and the development of our student athletes as people as well.
So to take all this NCAA and conference stuff and localize it as much as possible, really, this is a first year with President Garamelli here for the first time. What is the communication like between the athletic department and the university as a whole, and how does this all affect that? But also kind of, can you tell us a little bit about your new relationship with President Garamella?
Yeah. We're getting along great. He's a really
check that box.
I've really enjoyed getting to know him and listening to him talk about higher education and his vision, and he certainly cares deeply about athletics. He spent time with our coaches. He's been around to see several games already, and it's fun for me to sit with him, and his wife Lakshmi often joins him as well. And you know, they don't have a ton of experience or background in sports. He came to us from Purdue University, that obviously plays a high level of college athletics, and he'd been engaged at some level there, but this is a different role for him, obviously. I report directly to him, which is fantastic in that it gives me an opportunity to really advocate for our program and also make sure that we're really aligned with his vision and strategies for the university as a whole. So that's going really well. We have an amazing provost at UVM, Patty Prelock, who was the dean of our nursing and health sciences, was just named. She'd been the interim provost. She was just named permanent into that role on a permanent basis, and she's been a great champion of athletics. And I spend time with her and also the other deans and academic leaders on campus. And that's one of the things that's really important to me is that. That we're really viewed on campus as a part of the collective of the university, and you know, we're all focused on helping students to grow and develop as people in the classroom, out of the classroom, and we think of our mission is really integral to that. In addition to so creating excitement and energy on campus and connecting with alums, and so I work hard to spend time with the deans and other leaders around campus, and just to make sure they're aware of what's going on here, that they feel invited and included in what we're doing, and that I feel the same about what they're doing.
So kind of a last administrative question. I know that you've talked about the facility project on every interview for 2 years, and I'm sure you'd never get bored of it, but kind of a different angle out of it, I guess, is we talked about President Garamella's mission and his vision for the university and your vision for your athletic department. How does this facility project further those missions or kind of take the university itself to another level?
Well, I think a few different thoughts to on that question. One is, I think that the willingness of the university, and I'm talking about senior leadership and the board of trustees and the campus as a whole, to support a really significant investment in athletics and recreation. I'll talk more about recreation in a minute. But I think is a real signal that this campus values what we do here, and not only for the benefits that you know new facilities provide to the individual student athletes that are in these programs, but to the campus as a whole. You know, this this complex, the Patrick Forbush Gutterson Complex, what we call PFG, was built in 1963 when UVM had a student body of about 3,000. You know, we're now 55 plus years beyond that, and we have 10,000 undergrads and, you know, more graduate students. And really, it was built at the time with an emphasis just on the male students, because women, unfortunately, at that time weren't thought of very much from a recreation or varsity athletic standpoint. So there's no question it was time to update facilities, but it's expensive and requires a big institutional investment in a lot of ways. And so I find it really encouraging that the university was willing to step in, and obviously in conjunction with some incredibly generous donors. And you know, we announced two gifts last year that were really or are transformational for us. One from Rich and Deb Tarrant to name the Tarrant Center, that'll be the new home to men's and women's basketball, and also a gift from the Davis family to name the Fitty Davis Recreation and Wellness space. And that's the other piece, the on the wellness and recreation side, is that, you know, that's a piece of our department that touches the entire campus community. You know, on the varsity athletic side, we interface with 400 plus student athletes. On the recreation side, we're really dealing with the entire campus, and so I really like the idea that recreation is part of our department as a whole. I like the fact that our facilities will be a mix of varsity athletics and recreation and wellness. I think that it fits what UVM is all about. You know, we've always been a community that values being active, and we've got students who care about their health and well-being, and the varsity athletics is sort of just an extension of that. So obviously it's a really exciting time. You know, we're looking out my window now at a lot of busy construction workers and vehicles.
An awesome snowstorm, by the way. Got to get out to snow.
That's right. So you know, the progress that we've made on the facility front is obviously something that I'm really proud of and really excited for our student athletes, for the student body, and really for the entire campus community.
All right, well, when we come back, I'll get you a couple nice fun questions here. We'll be back in just a second with Jeff Shulman on Catamount Insight. All right, final segment here of Catamount Insider with Jeff Shulman. To take so much from this whole conversation, we broke down 2019, broke down a lot within this athletic department and how the NCAA really works and how that will affect UVM. But before we wrap up here, what are your holiday plans? What are you doing for the next 2 weeks before going really gets back and everybody's back on campus?
Well, you know, obviously, I like to spend time with my family this time of year. We celebrate Hanukkah, so that's coming up very soon. And I still have young kids, and so it's fun to see them experience the holiday season as a whole, and in our household, Hanukkah specifically. But it's also it's a time that I actually enjoy coming in, and it's just quieter around our department, and I'm able to sort of catch up on some things and have a little bit more focus time, not as many meetings, and also just, you know, interact with our coaches and staff and student athletes in a little bit more casual way. They don't have the hustle and bustle and pressure of the academic calendar on top of everything else that they're doing. So it's a great time, and obviously it's just a nice time in Burlington, and especially when the weather cooperates. And I always open up the rink a couple times during the holiday break and bring my kids and some friends, and we go out and skate.
Let me know. I'm ready.
You'll have to sign a waiver. I've seen you, Caleb. Just kidding. So it's a fun time, and we've got some big games here too. You know, we've got a couple big basketball games and the holiday hockey tournament coming up, and so it's a nice mix of family and personal and some fun work stuff as well.
So new year coming up, and we've talked 2019 blue in the face, but what should fans be most excited about in general with 2020 right around the corner?
You know, obviously the facility project comes to mind, and just sort of watching that that come out of the ground and take shape, I think will be something certainly that I'm looking forward to, and I think our fans will really enjoy as well. And you know, there's some things that seem like, you know, we're really poised for an exciting year. Obviously, men's basketball comes to mind. But there, you know, each of our programs is at a little bit of a different place. And I know in my role, I really just enjoy seeing them develop and watching our student athletes to improve and experience whatever it is that comes their way. And you know, one of the fun things for me in my job is we've got 18 sports here, and you just never know what to expect from one year to the next. And you know, some will surprise us in positive ways, some maybe not so. But that's part of this enterprise. And so I just, you know, I continue to just feel so fortunate to work in college athletics, to work at such an amazing institution. You know, it's my alma mater and such a great community with so much support. So I think 2020 is going to be a great year for UVM and UVM athletics and hopefully our community as a whole.
So what do you want to see out of Catamount Insider in 2020? What are you dying to hear out of this podcast coming next year?
You know, there's a lot of things I think about in my role, and the evolution of Catamount Insider, I can't say I've given a lot of thought, but I love what you're doing. I love hearing it. Like I said, our coaches and staff, and especially our student athletes when they get on, it's great to hear them have some fun with each other and just to hear the way they interact with each other. So, you know, just keep up the good work. Make sure you're getting around to all of our coaches and staff in the different programs, because there's a lot of amazing stories in this department. You know, they're not always the ones that are the most visible. You know that, of course. But you're doing an awesome job, Michael. It's great to have you part of our family.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Anything you want to get in before 2019 comes to an end here?
No, just, you know, depending on when people listen to this, but obviously want to wish all of our fans and listeners out there happy holidays and happy new year, and you know, really appreciate the support that we receive in this community. And I know our coaches and our student athletes feel the same way. So thank you on behalf of all of us at UVM Athletics.
All right. Thanks so much for a ton of time here. It was fun.
Enjoyed it.
This is the last episode for 2019. We'll talk to you in 2020. It's presented by Milton Catt from Learfield, IMG College.